सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंतिक कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंद राधा कुंद गोपन की जय। श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय। श्री नवद्वीप मायापुर धाम की जय। श्री जगन्नाथ पुरी धाम की जय। गंगमयी की जय। यमुनामयी की जय। भक्ति देवी की जय। तुलसी देवी की जय। समवेर भक्त वृंद की जय। Gopimonandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga.
Ya enter into complete trance. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Here is a description of the Astanga Yoga system to which Dhruva Maharaj was already accustomed. Astanga Yoga was never meant to be practiced in a fashionable city. Dhruva Maharaj went to Bhagavad Ashram and in a solitary place alone he practiced yoga. He concentrated his mind on the arch of Vigraha, the worshipable deity of the Lord, which exactly represents the Supreme Lord. And thus thinking constantly of that deity, he became absorbed in trance. Worship of the arch of Vigraha is not idol worship. The arch of Vigraha is an incarnation of the Lord in a form appreciable by a devotee. Therefore, devotees engage in the temple in the service of the Lord as archa vigraha, a form made of stula, material objects such as stone, metal, wood, jewels, or paint. All of this are called stula, or physical representations. Since the devotees follow the regulative principles of worship, even though the Lord is there in His physical form, He is now different from His original spiritual form. Thus the devotee gets the benefit of achieving the ultimate goal of life, that is to say, becoming always absorbed in thought of the Lord. This incessant thought of the Lord, as prescribed in the Bhagavad Gita, makes the topmost yogi.
I'm very grateful to be among all of you, the holy Dham of Sri Mayapur. I'm very humbled and honored to have this chance to try to serve you by speaking something from Srimad Bhagavatam. Today we are reading from Canto 4, Chapter 12, entitled Dhruva Maharaj Goes Back to Godhead, Text 17. We read in this story how Dhruva, inspired by his mother, from his very early age, 5 years old, went to the forest in search of God. It was in Vrindavan that he found his spiritual master. Well, actually, it was in the forest that he found Narada Muni, who sent him to Vrindavan, specifically Madhuban. And there, worshipping the deity of the Lord, small deity he made out of the clay of the Yamuna with his own hands, constantly chanting the mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, and meditating upon that deity within his heart. Within just a few months, he attained perfect self-realization. For many thousands of years, he ruled the world under the direction of the Lord. And at the suitable time, he renounced everything. Came to Madhurikashram. And there, according to the verse we are reading today, he concentrated his mind on the Archavigraha form of the Lord, which is the exact replica of the Lord. Meditating upon him, entered into complete trance. Today, we are observing the disappearance of His Holiness Srila Guru Govinda Swami Maharaj. And my dear friend, Madhavananda Prabhu, gave me some of the manuscript of an incredible, outstanding book that he has written on the life and teachings. I'd like to share some excerpts, beginning with the parallels of Srila Guru Govinda Maharaj and Dhruva. Guru Govinda Maharaj was also, from the very youngest time of his childhood, inspired by his mother to worship the deity of Gopala. And here in Sri Mayapur Dham, like Dhruva Maharaj, with a photo of Gopal in his hand, surrounded by devotees doing kirtan, he entered into the ultimate trance and went back to the spiritual world. He was born September 2nd, 1929, in Orissa, a village. Was it Jagannathpur? His name was Bhajabodhu. His family were very mysterious. Devotees come from a long tradition of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. His mother, from a village
Mount Kadaigiri, worshipped all her life the deity of Radha Gopalji. That deity was worshipped in the family for over 350 years. Srila Prabhupada tells us when he was a child, he would see his mother and father worshipping the deity of Radha Govinda, and they had such a deep impression in his heart. And he taught us that this is the most important responsibility of raising children, from the very beginning, to give them that deep impression in their heart. Not only the form of the Lord, but seeing the parents motherly worshiping the Lord. His family was renowned for their performance of Nam Sankirtan. And he spontaneously, actually, when he was just born, a famous astrologer told his family members that he will be a great devotee, a great scholar. He'll be married for some time. He'll give up all material attachments, become a sadhu. He'll preach all over the world. He will make the village of Kadaigiri famous. Then he concluded by saying, according to his reading, this child has been sent from this spiritual world for this purpose. And his family members shared with the devotees that by the time he was 8 years old, he was immersed in reading Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. When he would be naughty and cry, the only thing that would stop him from crying is if someone put the Srimad Bhagavatam in his hands. Then he would get absorbed in reading it. His family was poor, so they had no electricity. So at night, when it was dark, when his mother would be cooking, he'd sit right close to the fire to get light, to continue his reading of Srimad Bhagavatam. When he was between 12 and 15, he was living with his uncles in Kadaigiri. And the family told his basic schedule is he would wake up early morning, do seva for Gopal, do his studies. Then when he would come back with his studies, he would do kirtan for the rest of the evening and the night with his uncles, sometimes going village to village, preaching the glories of the holy names. He wasn't interested in playing or cinema. Whenever there was free time, he would do kirtan, serve the deities, and read Srimad Bhagavatam. Everyone around him could see he was extraordinary. Although he always kept himself in a very simple and humble demeanor. By his mother's strong wish in 1952, he was married. Soon after that, his father passed away from the world. Jagabandhu, being the eldest son, had to take the burden of all the finances of the family upon himself. He worked, and at night he studied, and by taking tests, he ultimately got degrees and became a teacher in a secondary school.
He had four sons. He had three daughters. And during that time and throughout his life, he kept a diary. Most of the entries into the diary were personal letters to Gopal, his worship of the Lord. And he would begin each passage, "With the mercy of Gopal, this day was spent thus." And he would write his realizations, his prayers, his activities for the day. And each entry would end with a prayer to Gopal, "Please give me prema bhakti, love for Krishna." He performed his duties responsibly. When his eldest son was old enough to take care of the family, in 1974, he was 45 years old then, he had a calling. Srila Gaura Govinda Maharaj explained to us that he was thinking, he's spending so much of his life teaching these mundane subjects. And if he taught the children what was really in his heart, his superiors would find it unacceptable. He wanted to give his life to teach the eternal truth of Srimad Bhagavatam. That calling, after 20 years, 22 years as a householder, detached him from everything except the will to search for a pure devotee he could accept as a guru. Studying Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, he understood what the truth was, and that he had to have a spiritual master who could bless him and give him everything. And he had a dream at that time in his life, after much prayer, where Gopal appeared to him and told him to take sannyas. In the middle of the night, he left his family. People tried to stop him in so many ways, but he was determined. He explained to the devotees he was staying at a temple close to his house, where his teachers and other friends, family members, were coming to try to convince him to come back. And he turned to one sadhu and asked him to sing a particular bhajan of a prayer to the mind, describing the temporary entanglements of this material world, the nature of this vanishing body, and the need to completely take shelter of the Supreme Lord Govinda. When he sang the last line, Rajabandhu fainted. Everyone knew that they could not stop him. He went to Gadaigiri and prayed to Gopal for direction, and it was then that he had that vision, the order to become a sannyasi. He wandered to the Himalayas, all the way down to Kanyakumari, searching for a spiritual master. In the Himalayas, he met many yogis, sadhus, swamis, gurus. He heard from them. But he was so deeply learned, He was looking for someone who would teach them, who is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how to surrender to that. What is the greatness of bhakti and the holy name? In ashram after ashram, meeting gurus, he would quote, in this age of Kali, the recommended process is the chanting of God's holy names, Harinam, Harinam, Eva Kevalam. Why are you not teaching this? And these spiritual leaders would usually tell him, please get out from here. In this way, he wandered thousands and thousands and thousands of miles and ultimately came to Vrindavan. There he would stay in a different ashram each night, learn what they teach, meet the gurus from all the different sampradayas. But somehow he wasn't completely satisfied. Then one day he was walking down the road in Ramanreti and he saw a sign, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So he went in and they were just digging the foundation for the Krishna Balaram temple. There was a couple mud huts and one small room where Srila Prabhupada lived. The devotees gave him a Back to Godhead magazine when he saw Srimad Bhagavatam. And he saw Lord Chaitanya. And he saw the Maha Mantra. He was thinking, this is it. He went to a devotee. He said, I want to meet this person, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Is it possible? I said, you go to his secretary. He went to His Holiness Brahmananda Swami. He said, why do you want to meet? He said, he is a Paramahamsa. I want to offer my obeisances and receive his blessings. It was noontime. Srila Prabhupada had just taken prasad and he was sitting on a chair. And Brahmananda Prabhu went in. He said, there's a sadhu out there. He wants to see you. Prabhupada said, bring him in. Srila Gaurakovinda Maharaj explained, when Prabhupada looked at him, he could feel with all certainty that Srila Prabhupada knew everything. As the representative of the Paramatma, Srila Prabhupada knew exactly how to teach and bless this devotee, who had already taken upon himself the name Gaur Gopalananda. Srila Prabhupada then asked him, who are you? What is your name? Where do you come from? Then Srila Prabhupada asked, are you a sannyasi? Gaur Gopalananda said, no. Srila Prabhupada looked at him and said, I will give you sannyas. They were speaking in Hindi. Srila Prabhupada was very impressed by his command over the Hindi language. He said, would you like to translate my books into Hindi? He said, yes. Gaur Govinda Maharaj explained, on that first meeting, he was certain this was his guru, and he surrendered his body, mind, words, and life to the service of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada had Brahmananda Prabhu give one article from a Back to Godhead.
And he said, give him a pen and paper and let us see how he can translate. He translated a couple paragraphs, Prabhupada, he read it out to Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, yes, you will translate my books. He told him, you stay here, we'll take care of you. He told the temple president, said, you cannot stay here. So he stayed in an ashram outside and he was coming every day. And he was giving services, he was washing pots, he was rolling chapatis, he was carrying big buckets of water, and whenever possible, he was translating. After some days, he met with Srila Prabhupada. He said, Prabhupada said, so are you comfortable here? He said, no, they won't let me stay here. He said, that's all right. He said, because they think that you might be a thief. Srila Prabhupada explained to them and they gave him a nice room. And all the people were thinking, why nice room means a mud hut? Why is he, a new man, getting like this? And Srila Guru Govinda Maharaj said they would often refer to him, the devotees, as the Mayavadi Sannyasi. Srila Prabhupada left that place and from Delhi, he wrote him a letter and told him to translate the perfection of yoga. A few weeks later, Srila Prabhupada wrote another letter to him, to Brahmananda Prabhu, and told him that he had just gotten, he was just donated a property in Bhuvaneshwar. And he wanted Srila Gaura Govinda Maharaj to go there, to develop it, build a temple, train his disciples in Hindi, and preach to the people in the Oriya language. He wasn't even initiated. Srila Prabhupada said, come to Mayapur right away and we will discuss it. In Mayapur, Srila Prabhupada gave him first initiation and the name Gaura Govinda Das. Sometime later, he got another letter from Srila Prabhupada to come to Bombay. When he came to Bombay, he was given second initiation. Just a couple months later. And Prabhupada, one disciple, Bhagavat Prabhu, who was traveling as the leader of the little Brahmachari group, he sent them to Bhuvaneshwar together to establish ISKCON. When they got to the land, it was far from the city, desolate, no electricity or water anywhere near it. It was a jungle. And Bhagavat Prabhu, who was somewhat of an experienced devotee, in those days, if you were a devotee for a few years, you were very senior. He said, we can't live here. It's too dangerous. This is the kind of place where there's so many dacoits, you could be killed in broad daylight. We have to go. Gaura Govinda Maharaj, he said, it is Srila Prabhupada's wish that we stay. I am staying. Nothing will take me away from here. Bhagavat said, well, we're going. He said, then I will stay alone. Bhagavat Prabhu said, you are a brahmachari, you're under me. Brahmacharis cannot stay alone. You come.
Soon after that, Srila Prabhupada was in Hyderabad. And Gaur Govinda Maharaj met him. And they were discussing developing Bhuvaneshwar. And Gaur Govinda Maharaj said to Prabhupada, "Please give me sannyas so that I could stay alone." And develop that property for you because nobody else wants to stay there. Srila Prabhupada said, "Yes, I will give you sannyas." At the installation of Krishna Balaram on Ram Nomi in Vrindavan. So he went to Vrindavan soon after that. But the GBC had made a resolution just recently that any candidates for sannyas have to be approved by the whole GBC body, and then they have to be observed for a minimum of 1 year. And Srila Prabhupada signed and approved that resolution. So although there was an initiation for sannyasis in the temple in Krishna Balaram, Srila Prabhupada privately called Gaur Govinda Maharaj to his room. They gave him the mantra, the danda, and the dress of a sannyasi. In this way, Srila Prabhupada did not violate the rule, but at the same time achieved his aim. He took first, second, and sannyas initiation within 8 months of joining ISKCON and meeting Srila Prabhupada. There were complaints. People were complaining to Prabhupada that this new man, he has so much responsibility, he's a sannyasi. And Srila Prabhupada replied, "He took his birth a devotee." And Prabhupada was speaking to his senior most people. He said, "Gaur Govinda Maharaj took his birth as a devotee. You are all new men." Gaur Govinda Maharaj asked Srila Prabhupada if he would give him some funding, some men, and some books to start the project in Bhuvaneshwar. Srila Prabhupada said, "No." He said, "My Guru Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, gave me an instruction to spread Krishna consciousness. And when I went to America from the Jaladuta, I had no man, I had no funding, I had nothing." Srila Prabhupada wanted to give Gaur Govinda Maharaj the opportunity to do what he did. But to make it easier for him, Prabhupada said, "I went to a foreign land. You are doing it in Orissa, where you are from." So he went to Bhuvaneshwar. He took that order as his life and soul. He had no money. He had no one. And the land was practically uninhabitable. So he was going and living in a dharamshala for a night. But then after some time, he had to get out. He was going from dharamshala to dharamshala. He would go out house to house to beg for food. And ultimately, somebody built him a little thatched hut, which he stayed in for some time. Then he got another letter from Prabhupada inviting him to come to the Kumbh Mela. And there, Srila Prabhupada told him, "After Kumbh Mela, I will come with you to Bhuvaneshwar." So he rushed back to try to make arrangements for Srila Prabhupada. Tried to arrange a water pipe for there was water there, because there was no water on the land. He tried to arrange a nice little hut made out of clay and straw. Tried to arrange some sort of lighting. Was really working hard day and night and day and night
tried to clear some of the jungle land. And Prabhupada came to Bhubaneswar. And he arranged a nice government house for Srila Prabhupada. And when Srila Prabhupada saw that very primitive little thatched hut on the property, he said, "I will stay here with my beloved disciple, Gaur Govinda Maharaj." And Prabhupada stayed for 16 days. And every day, sometimes for hours and hours, he and Gaur Govinda Maharaj would discuss intimate topics. He told him he wanted him to translate all his books into the Orient language. He told him, "I want you to build a temple here. You will see, in the near future, this property will be the center of Bhubaneswar. And the temple that you build will be one of the greatest temples in our movement." Srila Prabhupada told him to preach all over the world. And blessed him. After Srila Prabhupada departed, Gaur Govinda Maharaj took this instruction so seriously. He lived on the property. And the only other people were with some coolies who were doing, you know, the hard labor. And he had Prabhupada's order. Yavashayat makabhutir eke hakurunandana. Srila Prabhupada explained, this is the way we advance in Krishna consciousness. By being resolute in purpose, and our aim should be one, which means to make the order of our guru our life and our soul. He heard that Srila Prabhupada was in his last stages in his earthly lila, and Gaur Govinda Maharaj went to Vrindavan and spent beautiful intimate time with Srila Prabhupada there in his last day. Srila Prabhupada asked Gaur Govinda Maharaj, "What is the climate like in Bhubaneswar?" He said, "It's very nice." Srila Prabhupada said, "I want to go to Bhubaneswar." This was at the very last days. And those around him, like Srila Bhakti Charan Swami Maharaj, Bhavananda Prabhu, Tamal Krishna Goswami, were saying, no, you can't travel now. But he actually wanted to go to be with Gaur Govinda Maharaj in Bhubaneswar. And he sent Gaur Govinda Maharaj back. He left. Bhakti Charu Swami tells the story that Prabhupada asked, "How is he going to the railway station?" And Bhakti Charu Swami came back and said, "He's planning to take a bus." Srila Prabhupada said, "Arrange my own personal car to bring him to the railway." Soon Srila Prabhupada departed. And in the intense pains of separation from his guru, he followed his Vani with his life and soul. And what was it like living there for him? It really was a jungle. Madhavananda Prabhu explains in his books, one day Gaur Govinda Maharaj on the land gave a Bhagavad Gita class. And then he got up after the class and a cobra fell from his lap. He didn't even know it was there. Every now and then there would be wild elephants coming, deers, snakes. very austere. He went in 1979 to Mayapur town. He came here. And at that time, one of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers, His Holiness Srila Bhaktidayata Madhava Maharaj, had passed from the world. There was a samadhi ceremony. Many of the leaders of Mayapur Chandradaya Mandir went. There was a beautiful kirtan. And Guru Govinda Maharaj was absorbed in the holy name, swaying back and forth. And suddenly, he fell to the ground, fainting. They didn't know what happened to him. Devotees picked him up and brought him back to his room, and he was crying out, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Gopal, Sri Radharani, Krishna. He was crying, crying, crying Krishna's names. And it persisted for days. They called one astrologer. The astrologer said, as far as I could see, he's in divine ecstasy. But some of the devotees were thinking, nobody will believe an astrologer saying that. So they called an Ayurvedic doctor. And the Ayurvedic doctor said, this is some sort of madness that's very incomprehensible. And then one day, Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj, who was one of Srila Prabhupada's best friends, who Prabhupada called a Paramahansa, they brought him into Guru Govinda Maharaj's room, and he put a piece of straw under his nose, took his pulse, felt his head, and then Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj started laughing, and he said, it is Krishna Prem. And then he walked away. Srila Prabhupada attracted such a variety of incredible personalities. He was in that state for 4 months where he really couldn't do anything except cry out the names of the Lord. He was in Bhuvaneshwar. After that 4 months, he just came out of it. And he asked some devotees around him, how long was I sleeping? They said, 4 months. He was amazed. He thought it was just a few minutes. Meanwhile, living on the land, so exemplary. His humility, his simplicity, and his devotion. Every day, he would go out at 4 o'clock in the afternoon to beg. He had a quota. He would go to 21 houses to beg for funds to build the temple. He was doing this for months and months. And later, one of the students said, let me do it, let me do it. And the students did it, and he was making 160 rupees a month. That was the beginning stages of building the temple in Bhuvaneshwar. But he was never discouraged, because it was the order of his guru. He was printing back to Godhead magazine in the Orient language, and the person who was doing the publishing passed away. So for several months there was no BTG. Then Tejas Prabhu came and started it going again. But about 4 or 5 times a month, Srila Guru Govinda Maharaj would have to go to the press. From the land, he would walk 2 kilometers. He would take a bus, then walk 5.5 kilometers. He'd go to the press and spend most of the day proofreading, doing final editing. Then he would walk 2 miles back to the, or 5.5 kilometers back to the bus, take the bus, then walk 2 kilometers again back to the land. By that time, it was dark. And Gorgo Vinamaraj would only eat once a day. In fact, he had a standard that until he finished a quarter of translating Prabhupada's books, a quarter of pages, he wouldn't take even a drop of water in the day. On these days when he went to the press, oftentimes it was night, and he also had a vow he wouldn't eat at night. So he would not even eat. And one of his disciples, he said, why don't we get a rickshaw? Gaur Govinda Maharaj said, we can't waste so much money. The rickshaw was 3 rupees total. He never would accept it. And he said, this is Srila Prabhupada's money. We must see it as sacred and never waste it. That was his spirit. And we see how that spirit can draw such incredible mercy of Lord Krishna. In 1985, another aspect of Prabhupada's instructions to him unfolded. He traveled to Europe. Oh, he was from an Orissan village. Now he's on a jet plane. And the person who was serving him on the plane explains, it was really a culture shock. There was an airline hostess dressed the way airline hostesses used to dress in those days, going around to people and giving them food. And he said, what's happening? What's she doing? Why is this single lady going up to everybody? He said, he's giving everybody food. He was Hare Krishna's chanting. And his brahmachari assistant was really thirsty. He said, she's bringing some juice. Can I have some juice? Gauravinda Maharaj said, I am sannyasi, you are brahmachari, we cannot take food from a woman, we don't know who she is. They went to Rome, and he gave a 2-hour Srimad Bhagavatam class. But before the class, he said, I have to pass water. So he went to pass water in the bathroom. And he was in there for really, really a long time. And everybody was waiting for the class. So they knocked on the door and said, is everything all right? And he opened the door and he was completely soaking wet. They said, what happened? He said, I just turned on the water and it's all soaked. He never saw a shower before. He turned the wrong tap and had a full shower with all his clothing. And he went and gave class. And absolutely, everyone was spellbound by that class. And he kept going on and on. And finally, the leader of the community said, you know, it's time for prasad, about 2 hours. He went to Spain. There was a massive drought. There was no rain for 1.5 years. The whole community was suffering like anything. Gaur Govinda Maharaj said, if we just have kirtan, then the Yajna Purusha, Krishna, he will send rain. So he gave his Bhagavatam class, or I think it was a Gita class. And then after the class, very intensely, was chanting kirtan for a long time. And lightning and thunder started coming in the sky. And the devotee said, sometimes there's not thunder and lightning, but there's no rain. And soon after the class and the kirtan, there was a major rainstorm, and the drought ended. The devotees were so impressed. They were mesmerized by this. He had such faith and such potency. They all came to see him. He was supposed to spend many days there, but he told his servant, "We should leave immediately." He said, "Now they are coming to glorify me. I am not one to be glorified. Śrīla Prabhupāda should be glorified. Let us go." And he left that place. There are many things to be said. In his honor, I have gone overtime, which was his tradition. But I'm not so bold and courageous as him because I have the GBC waiting for me upstairs. But I must at least tell one more story. It was in 1996. Śrīla Prabhupāda's centennial was being celebrated all over the world. So this Lokanath Goswami, Swami Maharaj, was inspiring that. In Bhuvaneshwar, Śrīla Gaura Govinda Maharaj said to one of his close associates, "This material world is a miserable place." Śrīla Bhakti Siddhānta Saraswati Thakur had said that it is not a place for a gentleman. And therefore, he left this world prematurely. I think I will also be leaving soon. The Shakya's devotee. He said, "I will go to Gadaigiri and ask Gopal." He went before Gopal and prayed before his worshipable Lord. One of his relatives, Ghanashyam, Gaura Govinda Maharaj said to him, "You will see the installation of the deities in their new temple in Bhuvaneshwar." "I will not." He said, "How are you saying this? I am 10 years older than you. Why will you? I see it and not you." He knew. And he went back to Bhuvaneshwar and spoke to tens and thousands of people the glories of Śrīla Prabhupāda on his centennial for several days. Then came here to Sri Mayapur Dham for the annual GPC meetings. It was yesterday, we're celebrating today. On the appearance day of Śrīla Bhakti Siddhānta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupāda, Śrīla Gaura Govinda Maharaj was in his room. And two devotees asked him to speak about why Lord Chaitanya chose to live in Jagannath Puri. He was explaining the nature of Gambhira, where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in order to taste the sweetness of Srimati Radharani's love in separation, spent the last 12 years of his life in the ecstasy of tasting that Vipramamra Bhava. And he told how when Krishna left Vrindavan, what was the condition of the Brijavasis, especially Srimati Radharani, crying in the ecstasy of love day and night in separation from Sri Krishna, and Krishna's heart crying in separation from Sri Radha, and how Krishna returned to Vrindavan after so many years. And Sri Radharani came before him, seeing her, seeing the ecstasy of her love for him. He went into such a state of ecstasy that his limbs entered into his body and his eyes became very large in size. was the form of Lord Jagannath. Narada Muni happened to see this and asked for the benediction that this form of the Lord, in the ecstasy of love and separation from Srimati Radharani upon their meeting, would be worshipped somewhere in this world, and anyone who goes there to see will get that power. That is the internal origin of Lord Jagannath. He was telling this story. Tears were welling in his eyes. He became choked up. And he said, Krishna, Jagannath, looked into Sri Radharani's eyes. And Sri Radha looked into Krishna's eyes. And he became so emotional he could not speak any longer. He said, please excuse me, I cannot talk. Kirtan, kirtan. Devotees gathered around, performed beautiful kirtan. And he asked for a photograph of his beloved Gopal Jiyu, the deity he worshipped from his birth. And he held that in his hand, gazed upon it as the kirtan was chanted. He chanted the holy name, leaned back, and closed his eyes. Devotees became very worried. They went to get a doctor. Some doctors, they said, he's dead. But an Ayurvedic doctor came and felt his pulse. He said, he's still living. There was no heart attack. According to this Ayurvedic doctor, there was no physical reason for him to leave. He just decided to leave. Or let us say, Srila Prabhupada and Krishna just took him. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's appearance day, during the 100th anniversary of Srila Prabhupada's birth, appearance in this world, in the holy land of Sri Mayapur Dham, after speaking the most intimate vivas in the ecstasy of divine love, surrounded by the kirtan of the holy name, His Holiness Sri Gaur Govinda Maharaj departed from this world. But His blessings, His grace, and His incredible example will live forever in our hearts. Srila Prabhupada had a special, very unique love for this special, unique disciple. And today is a day we can set aside to honor, appreciate, and worship that love. Thank you very much. Gaur Govinda Swami Maharaj ki Srila Prabhupada ki Anant Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki